Okay, good morning, everybody. Breakfast is donated by my wife in memory of Albert's dad, Simcha ben Shlomo. She's neshama should have an aliyah. So, I had a class prepared because today is the 7th of Adar, was Moshe, but we'll do that another day this week because I wanted to continue from last night. So this week we begin the Sefer Vayikra. And Sefer Vayikra we call Torat Kohanim. The book of the Kohanim, it deals largely with the Korbanot brought in the Mishkan. We're going to spend the next 3 months with Vayikra. And usually Vayikra doesn't get its... rabbis always look for, we discuss Purim instead of Vayikra, Pesach instead of Vayikra. We try to look for things because we don't go through Vayikra. I saw a beautiful thought by Rabbi Pinchas Winston. It says we should look at the Kohen, and what is the name of the Kohen? Kohen is made up of two, break it up into two words, Kaf Hei and Nun.
25.
Kaf Hei is 25, and we discussed many times, and the Nun is 50. Kor is the word that the Nevi'im often use when they're introducing something to Bnei Israel. And we said Kor, for me, is a code word of light. It's Or HaGanuz. Why? We said that it says Bereshit Bara Elokim. In the beginning it says Yehi Or. Yehi Yud Hey Yud is 10, 5 and 10. 25 is Or. Or is the 25th word. Elliot knows this by heart already. So this is not the light of the sun and the moon, obviously, because this is the first day. The light of the sun and the moon is not until the fourth day. What happened to this light? Rashi writes that Hashem hid it, separated and put it aside for the Tzaddikim. Why? It says because Hashem knew that Rishaim would try to make use and abuse this light, so therefore he set it aside. The Gemara continues and he writes, appropriately this light is called the Or HaGanuz. This is the hidden light that Adam HaRishon, with this light at the beginning of creation, could see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. We say every day, Shema Yisrael, Shema has 25 letters. Baruch Shem has 24 letters, because we can't get to the 50. We're always trying to strive to get to that 50. But it's like when we say Shema, it's like what the Navi is saying. Call, remember people, you have a commitment to this 25, to connect to this Or HaGanuz. What does that mean? The Leshem, who was the Leshem? The Leshem was Rab Shlomo Elyashiv. He was the grandfather of Rab Yosef Shalom Elyashiv. He was in Europe, and he lived in Lithuania. And it's very interesting that Rav Avraham Yitzchak Cook writes that Rav Elyashiv taught him Kabbalah when he was very young, still back in Europe. And there's an interesting story. I like when they mention a rabbi, I think it's important we should think who the rabbi was who's telling us something to try to understand where he lived and what he was about. It says that Rav Cook came to Israel, and then Rav Elyashiv came later on. One day, Rav Elyashiv came to visit the chief rabbi, who had been his student, and Rav Cook saw the rabbi was very cold. He took his fur-lined coat, and he gave it to Rav Elyashiv, and they say that Rav Yosef Shalom Elyashiv used to wear the coat sometimes that originally came from Rav Cook. See the connection. So the Leshem writes that Hashem made a separation in the illumination of the light, that it shouldn't flow to give off light except for the righteous, whose actions draw it down and make it shine. He says further, the actions of evil block this light, leaves them in darkness, and this itself was the hiding of the light. So we could have access in the light through doing good things, while the Rishaim actually block themselves from this light. It says simply that when Hashem set aside the hidden light for the Tzaddikim, the people in the future time, it meant from that time onward, it became hidden only to who? Rishaim. It's very important because this light is crucial for seeing the truth about life, as eyes are for seeing the world around us. Without this Or HaGanuz, a person remains blind to the reality of Hashem and truth. And that person could willingly stumble down the wrong path in life. He may have a blast, but in the end, the blast is going to have that person. We say every morning, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek leolam haba. Right? So he says, this is less of a compliment than it is a reminder for what the Jewish people are supposed to be. For to not be a tzaddik, for not to be a righteous person, means that one is denied access to the Or HaGanuz. Why do you want to be a tzaddik? To have access to this Or HaGanuz. In fact, since one's access to the Or HaGanuz is through the words of Torah, one's level of righteousness determines one's access to the levels of the Torah. That's what the rabbi said also this morning, Birkat HaTorah. You can't do it on your own. You need Hashem to hand, take your hand and hold you. But only the tzaddikim can draw down through the Torah the Or HaGanuz. And that's why certain people, they think they learn Torah, they read the words. I hear people, you know, I read the King James Bible. How come Hashem is not showing me the light? People have to realize that it's an in-depth learning. A person has to commit themselves to learning in order to access. Even for Jews who wish to be righteous, it's not so easy. What do? To solve the problem we have, Kohanim. How did the Kohanim help? At least in the times of the Bet HaMikdash, the Kohen was never involved in the outside world. He was always involved in the spiritual world. He didn't have to earn a living. Why? Because the community supported them. The Kohen Gadol never left the Bet HaMikdash. He always stayed within the Bet HaMikdash while he was Kohen Gadol. That's why the Kohanim had to live up to a higher standard. And this word Koh indicates at the beginning of the word Kohen that they didn't have the luxury of being less righteous. It's their role to remain in that position as conduits for the divine light for the rest of Bnei Israel. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, so that the Jewish people could strive to be like them, to raise themselves up to this level. We have to realize that just like the Kohen is at this level, Eretz Israel is also at this level. And this is what we were talking a little bit at the end of the class last night. Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, the Ramak, who was the Ramak? The Ramak was born in Safed. He lived in Safat during the time of Rav Yosef Karo, during the time of the Arizal. He was one of the four people who received the special smicha, along with Rav Yosef Karo, Rav Moshe Trani, Yosef Sagis, and Rav Yaakov Beirav. He was one of them who received the special smicha back then. He writes, anyone who lives in Eretz Yisrael is considered a righteous person, even if it doesn't appear that way. For if he wasn't, then the land would spit him out. As we see in Vayikra, the land's going to spit out its inhabitants. Imagine, this is the Ramah, this is who's saying this. Therefore, regarding even those who act in evil ways, if the land does not reject them, then God calls them tzaddikim. This is what is meant by the verse. This is the gate. Zeh Hashar LaHashem, Sadikim Yavobo. What's the gate of Hashem, he's saying? This is Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu called it the gate of heaven. The first letters of Sadikim Yavo Uvo, the righteous shall enter through it, are Sadik Yud Bet, which can be arranged to spell Tzvi, deer. Implying that Eretz Yisrael, the land of the deer, is the gateway to God, and that all those that enter it are called tzaddikim, for once they enter, they do not leave. He says, in other words, Eretz Yisrael mystically maintains the spiritual status of Jews living on the land as long as they fulfill the mitzvot dependent upon the land, like Shemitah. Hence, it takes less spiritual accomplishment to access the light when a person's Eretz Yisrael. We see the Gemara says, even the heir of Eretz Yisrael makes a person wise. Hence, one of the borders of Eretz Yisrael, the one the Jews were made to cross on their initial entry into the land, is what? The Yarden, the Jordan. In English, it doesn't mean much, Jordan. It says, but what is it? It's Yarden, Yarad, Nun. It says, the Nun descended. Which Nun? The Nun of Shaare Bina, the 50 gates of creation. So you're able to access this light that's not accessible. Kabbalah explains that it is the Nun Shaare Bina that the Or HaGanuz passes through on its way down to our world. It's the 50 gates of understanding that filter the light, allowing it to result in every aspect of creation. It's also the light of Torah for those who merit it, which is why the Midrash also says there's no Torah like the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. For even in times when the temple did not exist and the Kohanim cannot function, Eretz Yisrael does, making access to the hidden light that much easier. Hence, another name for the whole Jewish people is Mamlechet Kohanim. Since with the help of Eretz Yisrael, we all can function as the level of Kohanim to some degree. Not only are the 50 gates of Binah the source of light of Torah, it's also the source of our souls, which we access on more profound level. We said that that this level of Binah is below Kisei HaKavod, and that's where the vault of souls is that we come from. So we see, when Haman wanted to destroy Mordechai, what did he build? A gallows. And how high did he make the gallows? 50 amot. Why would he choose 50? He chose 50 because it relates to the Haman. His name is Hem Nun. They are 50. Hem Nun. Referring to the Jewish people that Haman arouses by his attempt to kill them. This is also why he planned to hang Mordechai with 50 amot high. Haman sensed that there was about to be an influx of the light of Nun Sha'arei Binah. We were going to have the building of what at that point? The second Beit HaMikdash. So what happened? Haman was trying, like Amalek tries, to stop the light from coming, to make a klipa to stop it. Therefore, explains the Netivot Shalom. He says, the Netivot Shalom, he lived in the past century. Unbelievable book if anybody wants to study something amazing. It says, Amalek attacked the Jewish people when? During their 50 days between leaving Egypt and going to? Har Sinai. Why? Because he wanted to stop, to slow down. He knew he couldn't stop the thing from happening. He couldn't stop the accepting of the Torah. But he wanted to hold back the final redemption. The next time Amalek tries to block us, is an opportunity for complete, is when what happens? When Amalek, through Balak and Bil'am, we say the name from Balak and Bil'am, we have Amalek between them. What do they try to do? When we're ready to go into the land, what do they try to stop? They try to stop us from going into the land by first cursing, and then when they're not successful, by bringing the women of Midian. And then what happens is even the sheep that they leave behind, what happens? The tribes of Gad, Reuven, and half of Menashe decide to live outside of the land. Once again, Amalek shows up. It can't prevent the redemption, but it slows it down. And that, there were battles with Amalek, but mostly they started, we see with Shaul HaMelech. We see what happened with Shaul HaMelech is, now we're going to have the period of the kings. What happens? We have to fight again Amalek, because Amalek is trying to stop the Beit HaMikdash from coming. We see also World War II. Even you could say, you know, I always remember Rashi saying, who's Amalek? He talks about Germania being Amalek. Whatever Hitler, Yimach Shemo, was, he definitely was a spiritual descendant of Amalek. If you think that in 1948, we were meant to begin the period of the Mashiach, what was World War II all about? Amalek trying to stop the Jewish people from getting to 1948, from getting to the point where we get the land, and we have an opportunity to build the Beit HaMikdash. Amalek is never able to completely prevent the redemption, but he's able to push things off, slow things down, mess us up. And we see that's why the formation of the State of Israel has been so confusing. We have to see it really as the beginning of the final redemption. Now, no one should be surprised by any of this. Now, I want to say just this, and this is what I was thinking when we were saying yesterday. I'm going to tell you that I said yesterday that I think that we're in a period now, for sure the Geulah is coming. And we said that when did Amalek attack? Amalek, it's through his descendants of these Hamas people. These are the spiritual descendants of Amalek. When did they come and attack us? On the day, the highest day where we should connect to Hashem as Yesh'am. We're a separate nation from the whole world. What day is that? Shmini Atzeret. That's the day they came to attack us. Why? Because they're so afraid that what's happening, it's coming to the end. And when you put a dog in the corner, and the dog has nowhere to go, it just lashes out and does things. These people are no question, these people are Amalek. And this is the same thing that the rabbis wrote about, that Amalek comes in every generation when we're trying to get to the point of Geulah. And maybe they can't stop the next level of Geulah, but they're doing everything they can to throw it in our faces. I said yesterday, and this is what we have to think about, what do we have to do to be able to make sure that it's the Geulah? We have to not break apart the Achdut.
the Echad of 13, the Ahava of 13, bring the two 13s. We said Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov of 13. We have Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Ve'ah, 13. We have to bring it all together where we have Shem Havaya, and we connect to Hashem Havaya and mercy, and Bezrat Hashem will be Zocher in our days. And this Pesach, we should see not just a Ge'ulah that we remember, a Ge'ulah of Mitzrayim. We should see a Ge'ulah that should be forever, and Hashem should bring Mashiach, Amen. 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 Amen.